As a believer, God wants your life to count for eternity. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to make a difference with our lives for the cause of Christ.
Ministry happens when divine resources flow through human instrumentality to the glory of God. We're the human instrumentality, and God wants His love to flow through us so that He might be glorified. If we're waiting to be a part of something that will be of no inconvenience, no cost, if we're not willing to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, we will not make a difference in this community.
How can we translate our concern for our country and the world into meaningful action? The answer is found in our series, Making a Difference. Through today's study, we will learn how to influence those around us and how to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The most effective way to make an impact on the world is to make an impact on individual people. If you want to learn how to share your faith with others and how to make a difference for eternity, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Making a Difference by Loving Our Neighbors.
The Bible tells us that we are to love our neighbors. The Bible also tells us that we are to love our enemies. Perhaps that's because they are often the same people. I do not know. How many of you have ever had a neighbor that was a little hard to love? I've had one or two. Had one gal that used to throw her cigarette butts in our backyard repeatedly. And boy, it took all the grace of God to be loving and kind to that kind of a neighbor. But here it is, black and white. The Bible says, love your neighbor. And in Luke chapter 10, we learn the essence of Christian love. We are going to see this morning love displayed in the most unusual kind of way. I want you to know that this kind of kindness that we're preaching about this morning is a direct response to what God has done in our hearts. It must be the outflow of what God is doing in our own personal lives. And when we open up the Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, we see immediately in the passage before us this morning an expert in Jewish law questioning Jesus and attempting to trick Jesus by getting Jesus to give the wrong answer. How many of you know that's just not going to happen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one coming to the Father except by me. He is the truth. Whatever he says is right. But they were trying to tempt him in this particular passage. And Jesus answers the tempter with a question in verse 26. He says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And this Jewish lawyer answers with what is commonly known as the Shema, the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, he was going to get the answer right. He just laid it out before the Lord Jesus. But Jesus says something to him in verse 28. He says, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. Now, we guess from the next verse that this man, with all of his questions, with all of his rhetoric, he was not doing what he said must be done to have salvation. He was not loving his neighbor as himself. And I'll tell you why. Whenever someone really doesn't know the answer to the question, they become philosophical. Whenever someone wants to sidestep a witness or a soul winner, they'll get philosophical. You know, like, well, there's so many religions, there's so many Bibles, there's so many roads to heaven. And all of a sudden, this guy who had all the answers when Jesus was putting it right back to him, all of a sudden he wants to become a major in philosophy at Antelope Valley College. See, why do you say that, Pastor? Notice what it says, verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, read these next five words with me, and who is my... You see, everybody believes in God in the abstract. Everybody's willing to love their neighbor in the abstract, you see. And so here now, he's going to broaden this out so he doesn't have to be accountable for his own personal responsibility. As when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and when Jesus was sharing the truth with Pontius Pilate, finally Pilate was getting the conviction. He was feeling it in a red hot way. And he says this question, or asks this question, what is truth? You know, rather than really make a decision about Jesus Christ, he just went off into the school of relativism. He went out into the outer space world of philosophy like, well, you know, nobody can really know the answer. Well, this is exactly what this lawyer does. And so to help him understand what it really meant to love his neighbor, Jesus begins to tell the story that sometimes today we commonly refer to as the story of the Good Samaritan. He tells about this trip that was taken. This trip that was taken by a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. About a 15-mile trip. About a 2,500-foot difference in elevation. It was somewhat of a treacherous journey. It was through some crevices and canyons that one would travel between Jerusalem and Jericho. And along the way, the traveler, this Jewish man in the story, is attacked. He is attacked. In fact, the Bible says in verse 30, they fell upon him. And the Bible says they left him half dead. This man was badly hurt. And what we see in this particular portion of Scripture is we see here a firsthand account of a violent crime, racial discrimination, and social apathy. We see a violent crime, we see complete disregard by people who are of a different background, if you will. And then we see here a tremendous illustration of social apathy by those who could have done something and did nothing. By the way, we see those same problems in our world today. We see a lot of problems today with people who are fearing for their safety and people who are struggling along the way. They're afraid to go out at night. They're afraid to go from place to place. And people are buying home alarm systems and mace and guns, and I'm for all that stuff. That's all fine. Well, I've got to tell you something. While we ought to be concerned about safety and while we as citizens have every right to ask for protection in our community, and that's a civic responsibility that we have as citizens, really the balance of it all is the fact that God wants us to overcome evil with good. God has commanded us as the church, it's not our job to go around doing all the protecting. That's the police's job. It's our job to be the salt and light in this world. It's our job to spread the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this man in his need. We see that he is left for half dead. The picture truly of a neighbor in need. And notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. A Jewish priest comes by, sees the man, does nothing. By the way, how many of you have learned that just being religious isn't really the issue in life? You can be a member of a church, you can be a religious person, and still be no good for nothing when it comes to meeting needs. A lot of people that are religious are not doers of the word. So their religion is not a transformational, incarnational type of a religion. This man had religion. He saw the guy. He was no good for nothing. I mean, he just walked by, saw the guy, kept going. Notice the second man, he's called a Levite from the tribe of Levi. They were highly respected. They were involved in the handling of the artifacts of the temple and the cleaning of the temple. The Levites, they were religious. Boy, they were the ones that could be depended upon. But he comes by, he sees the man laying there, half dead, perhaps unconscious. He goes by and he does nothing. But now finally a man comes by and he sees things a little differently. Finally someone comes to make a difference. And that's what these sermons are about. How can we as a church and how can we as individuals make a difference for the glory of God? Well, let's learn how to make a difference this morning. Three quick thoughts. I want you to catch them. They're in your notes this morning if you're following along. Notice, first of all, the compassion of a true neighbor. The compassion of a true neighbor. The Bible says in verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Now I want you to notice this good Samaritan. The first thing we see about him is that he saw with eyes of compassion. I don't know if you noticed it, but the religious leader, he saw. I mean, he saw the man. But the Bible says in verse 33, the Samaritan had compassion on him. He saw with eyes of compassion. The word compassion means to be moved as with one's bowels. In other words, he felt it in his heart. He saw this man's need and he felt something about this man's need. Someone said, "Compassion is your hurt in my heart." And this man let the problem of another man get past his eyes and into his heart. The Bible says, mine eye hath affected mine heart. And he allowed himself to feel with compassion the need of this man. Now, a lot of people theorize and talk and discuss the problems that others have. And they sometimes even say things like, well, he brought it upon himself and, you know, all these things. And I suppose we've all been in conversations like that. It's like the two liberal sociologists walking down the street. They came by a man lying in the street. He had cuts and bruises. He had been the victim of a terrible mugging. One of the sociologists said to his colleague, he said, you know, whoever did this terrible deed really needs our help. I mean, here's a man mugged laying in the street. Their idea is, whoever did this really needs some help. Now, folks, you can theorize all day long about, you know, counseling programs for inmates and all day long about all these types of things for these bad people and all these other things. You know what? Let them have all the help they can get. But let's talk today about how to make a difference in the lives of real people that we're going to interact with this week. Every day of our lives, there are people that come across our path who are hurting and they are helpless. And they need the love of Christ through his church. Mark 6:34 says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so what made the Samaritan different? The other two men saw this man laying there, but the Samaritan saw him and was moved with compassion on him. And we need Christians today who will not just see problems, but who will be moved with compassion. Notice, secondly, he saw with eyes of compassion and he saw beyond prejudice. He saw beyond his own prejudice. Now, most of you have studied this out. You know that the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. I mean, they had no love loss between them. In fact, in John chapter 4 and verse 9, when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I mean, you talk about some kind of prejudice or hatred. These two people groups had it going on. I mean, they didn't want anything to do with anybody. The Jews felt the Samaritans were not a pure race, and the Samaritans felt the Jews were haughty and uncaring, and innuendo was common amongst them. And frankly, you just didn't touch a Samaritan. You literally didn't touch a Samaritan if you were a Jew. And yet, it was the Samaritan who overcame the prejudice, who overcame those concepts because he saw someone laying there in need. You know, Proverbs 24 and verse 17 says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. You know, the Samaritan could have said, well, he had it coming. You know? The Samaritan could have remembered everything he heard when he was a kid about these terrible people, and he could have just walked right on by and somehow justified it. But as a picture of Jesus, and you'll see that in a moment, as a picture of Christian love, he saw the man and his heart was moved with compassion. The compassion of a true neighbor. Now, one thing you're going to find out about yourself this week, and I'm going to find out about myself, is what kind of a neighbor am I? I mean, we're seeing it in the Bible. Are we going to be hearers or are we going to be doers? This man had compassion. Notice, secondly, the commitment of a true neighbor. Now, it's one thing to get warm, fuzzy feelings. It's another thing to get involved, okay? It's one thing to have compassion. It's another thing to move to the next level, which is commitment. Verse 34, please. It says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now notice, in the first place, he went to his needs. I love that phrase. And he went to him. If you're going to get involved, you are going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You'll have to get up off your couch. You'll have to go to the convalescent home. You'll have to go to the widow lady down the street. You'll have to go to the family with trouble in the neighborhood. You're going to have to go to somebody if you're going to be a good neighbor. You're going to have to make the commitment to go to them in their point of need. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look, and it's not a matter of who deserves it. You understand that. It's a matter of having the compassion of Christ and going to them in their time of need. It may be at Edwards Air Force Base. It may be in Tashby, Palmdale, Lancaster. Wherever you are, my friend, there's somebody right now with a broken heart and maybe a broken body that needs us to go to them. Notice, if you will, be ye kind one to another. Some of you remember the story back in October. October 2nd, 2006, there was a man, a wicked man, Charles Carl Roberts. One of the most wicked, perverted men to ever be placed in the news in the United States of America. Some of you remember the story. He went into a one-room schoolhouse for the Amish. He went into that schoolhouse with the sole intention of terrorizing. In the most heinous types of crimes were committed in that schoolhouse, and finally he killed 5 young Amish girls. The following Saturday, the funeral was conducted. Mrs. Roberts, Marie Roberts, made her way into the graveyard, and there she stood on one side of the casket of her deceased husband. He had taken his own life. The buggies of the Amish came in one by one. If you've never been there, you ought to visit sometime the Amish country just to sense the serenity and the peacefulness. Really, it's a beautiful place. And they came in their buggies one by one. And as they got out of their buggies, those families, several dozen families, they walked up towards the casket. They walked around the casket. And 75 people stood with and behind Mrs. Marie Roberts. Though they were there to grieve, they saw a widow grieving the loss of her husband and the father of their children. Bruce Porter, the fire department chaplain who was there, said, "It's the most love, the most forgiveness, the most heartfelt forgiveness I've ever seen given towards a family." He said, "I've never cried like I cried that day to see Marie Roberts surrounded by the love of the victims' families. She was absolutely deeply moved by the love that was shown." Now, folks, if you're going to wait for someone who really deserves you and deserves your love, you're going to have a long wait, because there's not a lot of deserving people in this world. But if you would be willing to have the eyes of Jesus and to have compassion on those that He puts on your heart, He will show you where you can go and meet someone's need. The Bible says He went to their need. Notice, secondly, He met His needs. You see, the Samaritan not only got down to the area of the need, but He then met the need. The Bible tells us specifically in this passage in verse 34, He bound up His wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set Him on His own beast and brought Him back to an inn and to take care of Him. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin." And oftentimes the Lord will bring us right by the path of someone at work or someone at school or someone in the neighborhood, and they are going through it. And all we see is their uncut lawn. And all we see is the problems they're causing to us. And we're never the blessing we could be. Sometimes we need to allow the Bible to help us to have a paradigm shift and to see things differently. I heard the story of a man. Perhaps you heard the story. He was on a subway. He was a businessman. He had his briefcase. He had his suit just right. He was heading out for another day to conquer his world. And there was a man on the train as well. He was somewhat disheveled in his look. He wasn't very well kept. He had 3 or 4 little children with him, and I mean, they were running up and down, they were jumping off the seats, they were the most misbehaved children this businessman had ever seen. And the longer the businessman sat there, and the more he looked at that family unit, the more irritated he became. Just like many of us become irritated with certain things in our neighborhood. That man sat there, that businessman, he filled with irritation, he filled with frustration. And finally he went over to the man, the disheveled man with these unruly children, he said, "Sir, what is wrong with your family?" The man looked up somewhat shocked. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. We've been at the hospital all night. My wife just died. I'm sorry." All of a sudden, that businessman had to change his view of what he thought he knew. Folks, instead of trying to figure out what we think we know about every neighbor, Why don't we just love them? You see, this man made contact. The Samaritan came to the aid. He took the oil and the wine and he cleansed the wound to cease the infection. And there, as he bound up the wounds, he then put the man upon his beast and he took him to the end. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. He went to his needs. He met his needs. Notice thirdly, he paid the price. The Bible says in verse 34, he said, take care of him. In verse 35, he said, hey, if you spend more, then I want you to know I will repay thee. Now listen to me this morning. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Ministry happens when divine resources flow through human instrumentality to the glory of God. We're the human instrumentality, and God wants His love to flow through us so that He might be glorified. And I want you to recognize this today. If we're waiting to be a part of something that will be of no inconvenience, no cost, if we're not willing to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, we will not make a difference in this community. He said, I'll take the cost. That Samaritan could have said, what do I get out of this helping this guy? This church, every single week, runs buses on Saturday and Sunday. We spend well over $250,000 a year bringing children into this church who attend schools where they no longer have the Ten Commandments. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if the public schools actually posted, thou shalt not kill? We bring the children in, we teach them the Ten Commandments, we teach them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. $250,000 to $300,000 we invest to bring them in. Many times they're unruly, some of them don't even care. But for those who care, they are precious in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what do we get out of that, Pastor Chapel? About 12 to 26 bucks a week. Bus kids aren't big givers. But there are some things you do with one bottom line in mind, and that's the souls of men. See, this good Samaritan, he didn't sit there as a businessman and think, well, I wonder what I'll get out of this. Maybe I'll have an article written about myself if I do this. No, no. This was something he was doing out of a heart of compassion. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he and that which he hath given will he pay him again. He paid the price. And notice fourthly, he promised to return. He promised to return. Verse 35, he says, when I come again. Now look right here. This week, whether it's a neighbor in your neighborhood who doesn't mow his lawn, or whether it's a widow lady in the neighborhood, or whether it's a lady at a convalescent hospital, or a man at a convalescent hospital, or somebody at work, or wherever it is, but I'm praying this week as we show the love of God, that you won't just show it for a moment, but that perhaps there'll be a relationship developed from that, that will honor and glorify God. Look at, when God brings somebody across your path, don't do your very best to forget about them, but bear them in your mind. He said, I will come again. I won't forget about you. That's the kind of love that makes a difference. Now notice, if you would, the compassion of a true neighbor, the commitment of a true neighbor, and finally this morning, the commission of a loving Savior. Now capture this with me, if you would. The commission of a loving Savior. Verse 36, please. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right? Let's read those last five words together again. Go. Jesus is saying what Peter said in 1 Peter. He's saying, I want you to follow in my steps. He's saying, I'm commissioning you now. Even as that Samaritan man did the right thing, I want you to go and do thou likewise. Listen to me. The Bible is the living, breathing Word of God. This instruction was not just for a Jewish lawyer. It's for every person sitting here this morning.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chapel wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chapel's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.